Yes, good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. This radio station celebrates its 50th birthday this year, and as a special birthday treat, we've decided to bring back this old classic to mark the occasion. So let's get tonight's show on the road.
Frank McGarvey shoots.
Derek Johnston.
A marvellous goal by Celtic.
Rangers pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ah, the sound of nostalgia. What a weekend to look back on as Rangers become League Cup winners, beating Aberdeen at Hampden. The title race is very much on as well, with Celtic losing at home to Hearts. Not many other goals or much excitement in the top flight, much to the annoyance of Derek Adams. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Mark Wilson.
What a weekend we've had, Gordon. You rightly pointed out that the title race is back on. Celtic losing for the second time this season within a week, and Rangers capping off a U-turn in their performances with silverware yesterday against Aberdeen. What a week we have got coming up in store, and fans from both sides will be queuing up to phone in for different reasons.
Can't imagine it's going to be a quiet show tonight, Gordon. Lots happened over the weekend, like Mark pointed out. First piece of silverware's been won by Philip Clement and Rangers. And I sat on this chair 3 weeks ago saying I thought that Rangers would rue dropping points against Aberdeen because I didn't think Celtic would give them many more opportunities. Fast forward 3 weeks, two defeats on the spin.
Come on down then, it's 01419511025. It's the same number, and we want to hear your thoughts, and let's prepare ourselves for a busy show. Indeed, Rangers fans, how good did it feel to win that League Cup yesterday? You've been made to wait quite a long time to get your hands on the trophy again. How pleasing was it? What does it say about Philippe Clement's start as Rangers manager? If you want to talk about the 90 minutes themselves, you are more than welcome. How much confidence do you have this is the start of something under the new manager? Of course, Aberdeen fans, it wasn't to be on the day for you. Where did it go wrong? 01419511025. And if Saturday's phone-in is anything to go by, I'm detecting a slight hint of frustration and anger. Nothing more amongst you Celtic fans. It was quite the reaction to that defeat at home to Hearts when we last spoke on Saturday. Have you calmed down? Has the dust settled? Or does seeing your City rivals win a trophy yesterday make it feel even worse? 0141 951 1025. Derek Adams thinks the whole thing's rubbish. I wonder how you feel looking back on this weekend of Scottish football. And anything else out there at all, we're here for you as always. 01419511025. Let's set the tone. Mark Wilson, your result of the weekend.
Well, result of the weekend, I think you've got to start off with acknowledging that Rangers winning the cup is a huge result. So give all the credit, winning silverware under Philip Clement. However, I need to give an honourable mention down the championship to Raith Rovers as well. Result of the weekend for me goes to them away at Dundee United. 13 league games unbeaten and top of the table.
That's fair. Rangers will get loads of praise between now and 8 o'clock. So let's keep these by and large to the league stuff, Andy.
There's no surprise, is there? When you've not won in a stadium for 16 years and you get that over the line, it's got to be Hearts. 2-0 victory. We sat here last week saying how Kilmarnock deserved their victory at Rugby Park. I don't think anyone can deny that Hearts were the deserved winners at Celtic Park at the weekend. 2-0. And fantastic 3 points.
You have to wonder, is Andy Halliday the happiest football pundit in the country tonight?
Got to be
just like the perfect combination.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone who ticks more boxes.
It's long overdue, no?
You've had a few hard nights on the show, granted. Right, go on then. Goal of the weekend. There weren't too many to choose from.
Well, I've got to stick in the same game, don't I? Like you said, don't worry. Slim pickings.
Fair enough.
Four goals in the SPL, this weekend. So I'm going to go with Stephen Kingsley. Someone that's became a bit of a set piece specialist at Hearts over the years, and we've been getting on it. So I don't think he's scored one for a long time now, and you know, it just felt right. And the distance where it was, you always fancy him to hit the target. maybe slight question marks over Joe Hart. I'm not too sure, but don't take anything away from the technique for Stephen Kingsley.
I was half expecting you to go Tavernier there, mate. a wonderful volley. Listen, I think in that game I mentioned earlier on, I think Dylan Easton's goal deserves a mention, but I'm going to go for Graeme Carey. Terrific strike, yeah. Great left foot in off the post to win his team the game. So I think he's my goal of the weekend.
Howler of the weekend, who's getting it?
You've already mentioned him. I'm coming for Derek Adams. I think, listen, you can come after your own team after a disappointing result, but don't disrespect the other 11 teams in the league. And I think he'd done that. I think he went way over the top. If you want to improve the standard of Scottish football, look at your own team first. And there's a reason he's jumped at the chance to come back to Scottish football by leaving Morecambe twice. So I've watched plenty of League 2 games, 100 times better than the SPL, no sure.
Yeah, any Morecambe fans out there, feel
watch
free
a League 2 games.
Get in touch. Exactly. He's got loads of time in his hands, this guy. Wilson, your howler of the weekend.
Oh, howler, right, it's going to go to Celtic. But where do I start with this one with Celtic? Result, team, the tactics, the substitutions that were made, but I think the biggest one, the fans, booing Santa.
Yes, absolutely.
Booing Santa, right? Half time. Listen, we can all get bad results and vent our frustration at the team, but when you've got the big guy on a half time taking stick, come on, Celtic fans, better than that.
That's when you know do that to my Santa.
That's when you know it was a bad day at the office. And
did you see how sad he looked? Did you see the pictures? He looked devastated.
And your top man, top performer of the weekend was?
Well, he was surprised that I never gave him the goal of the weekend, so I'm going to go with Tavernier for this one. I think I've been probably his biggest defender on this show over the years, had many calls about him, but it just feels as if when big moments are needed at Rangers, he's the one that's came up with him. A lot been sort of labelled at him in terms of the team success, but in terms of individually, I think he's always been the man to rely on, and he's came up with a big moment again at the weekend. I nearly actually went for the producer for this lovely Christmas tree. It's made its way next to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Oh, delighted.
I had the honour of switching the lights on, didn't I? It was dramatic.
It is quite low budget, it has to be said, but I'm glad we've got one. Bit of a festive cheer. You can't even see it on that camera. When they zoom out, you will mark your top performer of the weekend.
Well, Tavernier's manager, it's got to be Philip Clement. You know, if you come into this country and head at the team that he did and the position they were in and instantly turn it round, followed up the result against Betis on Thursday night, we're winning silverware. It's got to be Come on then
01419511025. That is the number you need. So let's hear your thoughts on the weekend, Rangers fans. How good does cup success feel? A day on, a few sore heads out there perhaps. Celtic fans, sore heads for very different reasons. A real weekend of frustration, I am sure. 01419511025. Let's start with Scott in Paisley. How are you, Scott? Keep us guessing. Hi, Scott. Can you hear me? Oh, don't like that. That's silence.
Silence.
Makes me uneasy.
Radio.
I must admit.
Radio silence, as they say.
Nah, that's never good.
It's the worst thing for radio.
It's a bad
is it?
Start as well. First call.
Big
moment.
And I can already see there's a lot of calls coming in.
How lucky is Scott to go on? And he's the first one. He's ruined it.
Incredible. There are a lot of calls as well.
I don't
want
him back on. Get somebody else on. You've missed your chance, Scott.
No, I'm sure.
What was his point?
I better be good now.
Let's guess.
After this big build-up, the real pressure. The nation is waiting with bated breath on Scott and Paisley. Scott, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Brilliant. We've got you this time, Scott. How good was yesterday's League Cup success?
I think it kind of rubs salt into the wounds, but do you know what? I'm hoping it's the start of something great for Rangers. Rangers have been to... What a week it's been to be a Rangers fan. Celtic dropping points to Big Andy's team Hearts, going to Spain, getting 3 points, top of the Europa League group, and then the topper at the weekend to win a piece of silverware. First silverware of the season. Sets a marker for everybody else, I think. And obviously the title race is well and truly on.
They weren't in order, were they? He didn't put Celtic dropping points above the other two achievements. Was that just in no particular order, your best moments of the week?
Just have to keep it neutral.
Andy, like, for a multitude of reasons, why was yesterday important for Rangers?
Well, because they've not won that trophy since 10-11. So it's a trophy that's eluded them for a long period of time. Celtic have obviously dominated the domestic trophies for a long period. And listen, it was two or three months ago in October when it all seemed doom and gloom, when Michael Beale was relieved of his duties after losing to Aberdeen 3-1 at home. And since then, Philippe Clement came in and went on an unbeaten run of 15 games, qualified for the last 16 in the Europa League. And that all-important first trophy of the season. I think it's as much a mental boost going into the rest of the season as it is important to win a piece of silverware. Because listen, we can see what's happening with Rangers' neighbours across the city. They're not in their best moment just now. And I think everything he's done since he's came in the door, the way he speaks, I think so important. And an important reference he made after Sunday's game was, this is just the start of the season. It's about moving on to domestic duty and try to continue further.
Well, he has to follow that up. But early signs are good for Rangers fans. And what better way to top off a good spell with silverware? And look, the way this League Cup's formatted, it's came at a very good time for Rangers when the final fell. You know, Aberdeen and Rangers, both in European competition Thursday, both coming into that final on a sort of high. Well, Aberdeen, you know, needed something to boost them getting into it, and that was it. So it was balanced pretty finely. But look, overall, Rangers deserve to win it. Now, Andy's right, winning the first trophy of the season always gives you a boost. You look when Ange Postecoglou first came to Celtic and they won the League Cup pretty quickly, and what followed after that. Look, Philippe Clement, I don't think he'll be getting carried away, but it's the best possible start he's had. I'm sure within those games that Andy's talking about that he's been unbeaten, he would want his team to play better in a lot of them. However, if you're not playing at your best or things aren't quite clicking, if you're still winning games, it's a brilliant sign of probably things to come. So I think Celtic fans will be wary. I think Brendan Rodgers, although they'll say that they don't look over the other side of the fence, of course they know Rangers are a different animal now.
Scott, that day, funnily enough, same opponent, when Aberdeen came to Ibrox and won, I bet a League Cup victory seemed an awful long way away that day.
Yeah, it seemed an awful long way away, but do you know what? The managers came in, the players have gelled. It's, as you said, Rangers are looking like a different animal, and of course Brendan Rodgers is looking over the fence. He might not like to admit that he's looking over the fence, but I think he might have one eye over the fence anyway.
How important, Andy, then, if we're talking about, you know, Rangers as a club and being starved of that trophy for quite some time, specifically in terms of a new manager coming in, how important is early silverware to give you that real sign that it's worth buying into? Because, you know, we said it before the game yesterday, of course, unbeaten so far, and well done and plaudits. You go and lose a League Cup final then, it's almost like everything would have been ripped up, wouldn't it?
Well, that was going to be my answer, because I don't even think so much it's winning it. I think it's the repercussions if you lose it. I just think straight away, this sort of early success you're getting, a lot of people talking about your unbeaten start, you're straight off 3 days after beating Real Betis, who have not lost a home fixture for a long period of time, and you want to run this wave of success as much as you possibly can. And this has been the biggest achievement to date. Betis was great. We had so many calls last week saying if they had to pick one of the two, they would pick the bit of silverware at the weekend over qualifying for Europa League. But listen, going into the biggest week of the season, they've managed to do both. And like you say, they'll want to try and sort of ride this wave of success as much as possible. But I still think, and I think Philippe Clement will know this, I think Rangers fans and Rangers board should know this, I think January is still so important for the club to invest in and try and strengthen moving forward.
Thank you, Scott and Paisley. Let's head east to Gary in Edinburgh. How important was yesterday for you, Gary?
Oh, it was massive. Absolutely massive achievement, sitting there winning the cup. I think it's great for the momentum of the heel squad. I think that we'll go on and push on for there. I mean, we've still got a lot to do, obviously. Still early in the league, and anything can happen. But with two games in hand, and we've still got to play Celtic at Celtic Park, it's absolutely... we've left ourselves in a good position.
Is that why, Mark, yesterday was even more enjoyable from the Rangers fans? I'm asking you here, and I'm asking a lot of you here to imagine it, because naturally you don't have the same emotions, but a bit of a Carlsberg week, please drink responsibly, other beers are available. You know,
perfect week, yeah.
Yeah,
of course, without doubt. Andy hit the nail on the head earlier in the week when I was on the show. I think the same topic came up. Which one would you choose? Would you rest players for Seville just with the cup final in mind? There's no doubt in my mind that silverware was the all-important thing, because it's been such a long time since Rangers won that trophy. However, in that period of time, in that 12 years as well, you know, it's been very sparse. So, you know, anything, any tangible sign that they're going the right way was needed. And they got over the line. Wasn't spectacular, but who cares really about cup finals if they aren't spectacular, as long as you win it. and it's a great starting point. I always liked when, or I liked the format when the League Cup was just before Christmas. I think it just divides the season quite nicely. And if you win it, it sets you up for, you know, an important, what, 10 days before the winter break. So Philippe Clement and his team will be well aware of that, and it puts him in a right good position.
I think I know the answer to this, Gary, but how key has the manager been to all this?
He's been a big part to play in it, obviously. He's kind of stepping it down and saying that he's not had a big part to play in it, but obviously he has. I mean, he's had a big effect on the players. The players' confidences are a lot better. I still think we could be dealing with a kind of stronger number nine. I think, well, in terms of Shankland, I would like to see Shankland at Rangers. And by the way, I would just like to say a big well done to Hearts for beating Celtic 2-0 at the weekend. That was absolutely beautiful as well for a Rangers point of view.
I bet it was. Is that why so much of this credit probably will fall on Philippe Clement? Because I don't think there are many, if any, Rangers fans out there who would call here and say, we're littered with brilliant players, this is a brilliant team, they're all playing at the top of their game. I think everyone acknowledges they're not yet. They're winning a lot and they're winning trophies now, so surely that kind of points to the manager, does it not?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's where, listen, Michael Beale was ultimately relieved of his duties. I think the biggest sort of disappointment within his time wasn't just the results, because I think the results were much. He's had some good results, had some poor results, but I think it was how they spent their money in the summer. Because I think there was a lot going into this rebuild in the summer. There's going to be, you know, big players that were on big wages, like Ryan Kent, Alfredo Morelos, Scott Arfield, Alan McGregor, all leaving the club. It's a fresh start for the club. They're going to spend whatever it was between 10 and 15 million bringing in these new players, and there was a lot of excitement. 2-3 months down the line, there was arguably question marks over every single one of them, out with Jack Butland and Abdul Asima for his part in the play. But then this is what managers do for me. They come in, they get the best of what they've got until you get a transfer window where you can buy in your own players and strengthen. I look at the likes of, not so much just the recruitment players that came in, but I think John Lundstrom's been a new player over the last 15 games. I think, obviously, Jack Butland's been superb anyway. I actually think Abdul Asima, even though he's scoring goals, I think his performance has improved under the new manager. You see his work rate off the ball in the game yesterday was exceptional. He's brought in Ross McCausland, who's been a real breath of fresh air to the team, and I think he's improved the core of what's there. And like I said earlier, I think it's really important now that Rangers go into January, assess what they need to buy and invest in what they've got.
Gary, you don't need me to tell you there have been moments of success in recent seasons and it's never turned into sustained success. It's always been a bit of a false dawn. How confident are you that this manager's different, this is different, and this is the start of something?
Well, I think you've just got to put your trust in the manager. To be honest, I think it's one of them where you look at Clement, he's not put a foot of your line. You've got to sit there and trust the manager, and he's done really well up to now. I mean, even beating Real Betis, I mean, no one expected us to go over there and beat Real Betis. We've done that, we won the cup final. So he's doing stuff that's absolutely fantastic, and that's my son.
Quick, hurry up, Gary, that's you. You better go, I know that.
Listen, I'll have to go, but listen, thanks for having me on.
I know that feeling. Thank you very much to Gary on 01419511025. It is the perfect time to call Rangers fans. You can talk about the game itself yesterday, the achievement, the scenes of celebration, Philippe Clement, the players, whatever you like. And Celtic fans, it's contrasting emotions. You were all very, very angry on Saturday night when we spoke on the phones. How do you feel tonight? Let us know.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Oh, how good does the original theme tune sound, Mark Wilson? There's been a lot of tweets over the last 7 years I've done this show. I don't think I've ever had the chance to hear the original theme tune. Loads of people tweet me saying, bring it back, we've brought it back for the 50th anniversary of this radio station. Be nice if it stayed.
Who makes that decision?
Will we start a campaign?
Surely you. Hugh Keevans, I think.
You must be joking. I'm basically a glorified babysitter for you and Gordon Dale. Okay. That is it. That's as far as my
favourite one. It's nostalgia effect with the theme tune, isn't it?
Yeah. And talking over the top, it's great. That's kind of my memories in the car.
Anyway, 01419511025. Rangers fans, keep your thoughts on yesterday's success going. Celtic fans, where is it going wrong for you at the moment? Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He's looking for Rangers to go from strength to strength after winning his first trophy as Rangers boss.
Excited, of course, really happy, proud also. If I see the path that the team has taken the last 9 weeks, everybody sees the team was growing. In the end, we deserve this victory. It's not easy after a historical win on Thursday in an away game in Seville with traveling and everything to have the same focus that they had today. And they did a brilliant job. I think if you feel this, it creates a certain hunger for more. That's my mentality, and that's always how I've been. And I see this more and more in the dressing room. If the players keep that mentality until end of the season, you always have a great season. So I'm going to push really hard towards that. And if there are players with other ideas, they put themselves out of the story.
I wonder if you're looking for a sign of how much it meant to everyone involved yesterday. Maybe Philippe Clement's celebrations would sum it up. He's been so kind of cards close to his chest, straight faced since he came. The way he was swinging that trophy around outside Edmondson House.
He's like your drunk uncle at a wedding, wasn't he?
It was quite something.
Oh, he loved it, a big
one. I don't mind seeing that. You know, managers who are quite stern with him, you know, never misses a beat in a press conference, straight down the line. You don't really see him smile much, but the pressure on their shoulders every day, you know, all managers. So it's, you know, you don't mind seeing them letting loose because they're straight back to the job today. Remember, it won't be any downtime for them. So he gets that moment, that hour or so to just enjoy it. And he certainly did last night.
Yeah, without overanalyzing the body language, Andy, do you think there was a bit of that, you know, whilst he's very clear at trying to get certain messages across? Do you think that was a bit of a release in showing just how much importance he put on it?
Yeah, a release, a relief probably, because I think he knew the amount of pressure the team and himself was under going into the game. Like I said, it's a trophy that's eluded them for a long period of time, and I think he's been battling on this message of this winning mentality. So I think if you then go and lose your first final, we all know the criticism that's going to come his way.
Right, we're going to speak to Thomas, who's a Celtic fan, very soon. I can see a few wanting to air their frustrations. Let's do Barry and Paisley first, who's a Rangers fan. How pleased are you after yesterday, Barry?
Oh, happy. Very, very happy.
Is that you sounding happy, Barry?
I'm a Morrison's man. I'm trying to keep my voice.
He's in the vegetable aisle in Morrison's. Try not to give it away. If anyone else is listening in Morrison's, give Barry a wave. Right, we'll keep it down, Barry. What kind of pleased you most about it?
Just the way they played. The last, obviously, a few weeks, there's a bit of determination there. He's obviously changed a lot of players. The way they approach the game and all that. They don't give up. When Beale was there, I mean, don't get me wrong, when Beale came in, I was happy as Larry, you know, because I felt for the old adage that he was the man behind Stevie Gerrard, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well done to Michael Beale, who's got himself a new job, I noticed, the Sunderland manager. Quite something. But is that why...
I also was going to ask, you know...
Let's deal with that first though, Barry, because it's a good point though when you mentioned, you know, the kind of change and all that sort of stuff. I just wonder about the players, Andy, and you look at yesterday. I said to one of the previous callers off, we'd said to you when Aberdeen won at Ibrox, you'd go on and win the League Cup, you know, could you have seen it coming? What if we'd added to that it would be with Dujon Sterling in the middle of the park and with Cyril Dessers having to lead the line for nearly the full game because nobody else is there and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I'm going over to Betis with mm-hmm. players like this in the team, having one recognised midfielder, sorry, two, because Cifuentes was available for that game, having two recognised centre midfielders. You've got Cifuentes, Ben Davies, Cyril Dessers obviously in the starting lineup, boys that have come under a lot of criticism, and to go in and get the job done there and then follow that up at the weekend was mightily impressive. I'm sure I'm sitting here along with other people and Mark myself thinking, where's Dujon Sterling been all season? Because for me, his two performances since he's came in has been nothing short of incredible. For someone, I think Mark will tell you, I think players can play out of position, but I think the hardest position on the pitch to play out of position is a centre midfielder if you're not a midfielder. A lot less time on the ball, taking it in areas you've never really took it as a professional football player. And I thought his performances over the two games were exceptional. And, you know, It was interesting to hear Philippe Clement say that he's seen that versatility in training, because, I mean,
like how?
How, exactly. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with him in his position in the team moving forward.
What else you got, Barry?
No, just agreeing with Andy about Sterling. He came in, he played absolutely brilliant. Fair, a right back, I think he is, isn't it? I think right or left or whatever it is.
Yep.
To play into midfield. Basically, it looked as if he was showing the place up with Lindstrom, who's come on to a cracking game as well. know what I mean? Most of the players, as I said a minute a while ago, they're all playing really, really well, apart from Dessers, although he scored a great goal in Minbetis. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's the consistency that you're looking for.
I suppose
my other point was,
yeah, carry on, buddy. Sorry.
Something that Mark had said, the title race is back on. It was never off. Do you know what I mean? That,
6 weeks ago, it looked off.
Nah, not really. Not really, Mark. Especially when you still get to play Celtic 3 games. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And although we were playing rubbish, but it was never off until it's mathematically impossible. That's the way I look at things.
Ah, but see, you're just obviously an optimist, Barry. Let's be fair about this. If I had stood outside Ibrox that day against Aberdeen and, in family fortune style, surveyed 100 fans to say, do you think Rangers will go on and win the league? Yeah. I'm thinking 90s, in the low 90s, yeah, that, yeah, would have said no on that. Barry might be more optimistic, but let's be fair, that's kind of the way it looked.
Well, I remember you know, around about that time, you asked myself, I think you asked Charlie Mulgrew in a separate show as well, about the big points gap and if we thought it was over. Now, we actually alluded to the fact that Celtic in our time were even further behind, and it was possible that things could turn around. And it did on our occasion. We says it was a possibility. However, with the way Celtic were going at the time, and Brendan Rodgers being in, and you just thought there was more to come, and the Champions League was still there, optimism was still high, it didn't look to me that Rangers would get within touching distance of Celtic. And if they did, it wouldn't be this soon. It wouldn't be this side of Christmas before the game on the 30th. So things have changed dramatically. And that's one guy getting out the door, another guy coming in who looks like he's clued in, and a top manager, sounds like a top manager anyway, and we're a piece of silverware already. So things have changed so quickly, and Rangers put themselves in a great position going into these next 3 games.
Well, that's silverware. Thank you to Barry. If anyone else has identified Barry and Morrison's, feel free to give him a wave. There must be that. People must know. It sounds like he's on Super Scoreboard, because there's a certain tone, there's a certain type of conversation.
Barry and Morrison's. Did I not see a picture of the Dazzler? Was it Morrison's or an Asda?
He's everywhere. Usually Asda, to be fair.
I think it was Asda. Disney. Morrison's is too upper class.
Let's hear from James Tavernier. He's obviously had a Premiership and a Scottish Cup. Now he's delighted to finally get his hands on the League Cup trophy.
Yeah, it's obviously long overdue, but really proud of the team, how they performed today. Probably we made it closer than what we expected to. But we knew if we limited their chances, then we'd create our own. And yeah, really just happy to see this week out. But yeah, delighted to get all of us to get hands on the first silver of the season. And that should give us really, real good momentum to build on this now. Then important game Wednesday, so we'll definitely enjoy today. And then it'll be, you know, looking forward to Wednesday.
Mark, that goals tally, a double in the semi, the winner in the final. Loads of stick on this show, and of course some of it will be fair, but how much of a contributor is James Tavernier?
Well, running out of things to say about him. Look, throughout the years I've gave him stick for his defensive side of the game, but I've never once aimed anything at him negatively about his contribution to the team going forward. It's just extraordinary how many assists, how many, you know, set pieces he's involved in, but the goals, listen, take the penalties away. Touched on it yesterday. Take the penalties away. How does he get in those positions? The composure when he gets in those positions to finish, the technique he has, the engine he's got on him, everything you want for a modern right-back. And there's a reason. There is a reason that you don't see many right-backs scoring that amount of goals, just because they've not got that package that Tavernier's got. And he almost scored the first goal earlier with a free kick, and when the ball gets placed, we're saying in the studio, this is Rangers' probably best chance of scoring, and he gets it in target again. It's a very good save, so it just adds so much to that team. And I wasn't surprised, to be honest, that it was him that popped up with the winner when the game was so kind of dour at times and not really creating anything. It was him that wins the trophy for Rangers.
Well, yeah. Sitting next to two guys that have played fullback, if you add our career goals up, it's not coming anywhere close to 115. That's
no, you're right.
In fact, if we add your amateur football career into the three, we're still not getting to 115.
You'd only be adding two on, so I don't think that'll work.
But listen, we've said that, you know them. I've tried to defend them on the show because I just think people need to realise if James Tavernier was as good defensively as going forward, he wouldn't beat Rangers. It's as simple as that.
Such as his
output going forward. And I do feel as if a lot of criticism has been unfair in terms of he's not being a captain, because because that for me yesterday shows why he is a captain, because it's another big moment. Rangers are looking at somebody to grasp it, and he's the one that's came up with the goods again.
Thank you very much. 01419511025. Let's flip to the other side. I don't think there'll be as much joy around Thomas as a Celtic fan. Sum up how you feel as a Celtic fan at the moment, Thomas.
Hi Gordon, hi Andrew, hi Mark.
Hi Thomas.
It was just shocking that weekend, Gordon, you know, it was just so poor. I really don't know what Brendan Rodgers is trying to do, to be honest. I don't understand his system. I don't understand what he's playing at. There's an example, Gordon Kyogo. Last season, he scored 30 goals. This season, he just seems a shadow of his, what he's saying. You know, he doesn't look interested. He's not playing in his right position. I honestly don't know what Brendan Rodgers is doing. I really don't.
So he's taking the blame for you in this dip in form?
I think so. I know the board's got a lot to do with it as well, Gordon. You know, the signings. We sold Jota for 25 million and we haven't replaced him. You know, it's just, I really don't know what's going on. You know, the squad we had last year was brilliant, and Brendan Rodgers has just dismantled that. And I just don't understand that.
Well, like Thomas, it's got to be a combination of all. It can't just be labelled at the manager. I don't think it can be just labelled at the board and then the players. Because to go on a run like this, or to have such a dramatic change like Celtic have had in the past 3 months or so in the style of play, it's got to be everybody. So the players are certainly underperforming, the ones that take to the pitch, because, you know, the quality's in that squad, with the greatest respect, should be able to beat Hearts, should be able to beat Kilmarnock. Brendan Rodgers has obviously changed the way that Celtic play. Now, in Europe, it's a bit more pragmatic, and it's a lot more possession-based to try and drag teams about and drag them out to then go at them. Not as quick as Ange Postecoglou's style. Domestically, sort of seems the same. Slow build-up play, and it looks like the players haven't adapted to that quickly. And then the board, you see fans shouting at the board and being ejected for the stadium on Saturday. Now, obviously, there's grievances with the board for different reasons with the Celtic fans. Some it'll be the fans that have been locked out, and that dispute is ongoing. For some, it's always pointed at them, recruitment, and they're sleeping behind the wheel, and they should have invested much more of this 70-odd million they've got. However, the board have invested money. Where it's been spent is probably the problem, and the players that have been brought in are nowhere near good enough to push the starting 11 that's been successful. And that's where you get a combination of all the problems. There's no doubt it's not in a good place just now, but it's not like it's out of control and it can't be fixed quickly. When you've got good players and you have got a good manager, which I still think Rodgers is, then it doesn't take an awful lot to fix it. But there's been a few bumps in the road, and when you pair that with Rangers' success, then it obviously looks much worse.
The Jambos won't get the credit, Andy. You know that's the way it works in Glasgow. What did you make of it with your maroon glasses on?
I think going into the game, our plan was pretty obvious. It was to sit in a sort of five at the back, be compact, try and frustrate, and then try and hurt Celtic when we can. And, you know, I was sitting with William Boyce watching the game, and I turned to him next to me after 15 minutes and says, the game's there for us. Because I just felt the way Celtic started the game in terms of their tempo, I just felt that is the tempo that we want to be at in this game. And obviously the chance then comes for the corner, which has been a real weakness of Celtic recently. You remember obviously Motherwell at Celtic Park, St Johnson, when they scored at McDermott Park as well. And then for the corner, Shanks manages to stand and head a ball in the 6-yard box. Stephen Kingswood gets my goal of the weekend, then gets a free kick 10 minutes later and puts it in the back of the net. And then at half time, you now feel, right, the first 5-10 minutes of the second half's massive here, because you know Celtic are going to come out firing. If you can defend situations the first 5-10 minutes, you build confidence where they don't take it. But in all honesty, I felt as if we could have played another 90 minutes. I just couldn't see Celtic scoring. I never seen this onslaught that I think everyone expected, because it's been what's been happening at the Celtic Park for a long period of time. But yeah, I've never went to Celtic Park with a team and been so comfortable for a full game like that.
How worried are you, Thomas? Are you hitting the panic button? Is your hand hovering over the panic button? What are you thinking going forward?
Well, we need to play a lot better, Gordon, than what we've been playing. You know, the last two games is against Hearts and Kilmarnock. It's not good enough. You know, first, maybe away from home, maybe aye, but at home, you just be winning your home games comfortably. Yeah, not so much comfortable, but you need to win your home games. You know, and I think January is a big month for Brendan Rodgers. I think he needs to get this right, and I honestly don't know where the signs are going to come from, but he needs to get it right, or else there'll be something going on, you know.
Thank you very much to Thomas. What about the rest of you Celtic fans? Thomas was, I would say, quite measured. Anyone a bit angrier than him? Anyone on the other side thinking that is nowhere near time to panic? Let us know. Good to hear all sorts of opinions on it. Give us a call right now if you can, whilst I tell you about this. Someone had a missed call worth £230,000 after disaster. The latest Make Me a Winner call went to five rings. It is a disaster. It goes to a rollover though. When one door closes, another one opens, and you could now be the winner of £235,000 when we make the call. But you need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Christine won on Friday have rolled over, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call from us after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings, say Make Me a Winner straight away to get the £235,000 paid into your bank account right after the call. Text YES to 61025.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
You just know that everyone's going to come away from tonight's show saying the best thing about it was the original theme tune brought back, which will be the final indictment on the punditry that is on offer from you two. But hopefully we can raise the bar and compete with it. Ross is a Celtic fan. Ross, what's the emotion? Is it anger at the moment? It was really angry on the phones after the game on Saturday. Would you say you're angry?
Hi, Gordon, Martin, all very well. No, I think the emotion is just frustration more than anything. I kind of predicted this, and I'm not saying that I was right in anything with Rodgers. I kind of knew that it was going to pan out with us. The second time is never as good as the first time. And in the summer, it was project after project after project, and it was only going to go one way. And I'm not surprised that it's went this way, but I think there's two people I'm blaming for this, and it's Peter Lawwell for the signings that are coming in. He's the one with the money, and Dermot Desmond in charge. Rodgers is the football element, where on Saturday Celtic need to win. We're 2-0 down, and he brings on Bernabe. Now that is just baffling to start with. And I think from a football point of view, I think Rangers get out at the right time with Michael Beale, and I think it's now time Celtic get out at the right time with Rodgers.
Seriously, you think that time is now?
I think, why not? Rangers will win their two games in hand, and it will come down to this game in the 30s. And the way it's going now, Celtic are no favourites for that. Rangers are favourites to win that. And if they beat us at Celtic Park, the pressure mounts. And I think in January, when we have the winter break, it's the perfect time to pull the plug and get somebody else that's going to take us, because Rodgers is taking us backwards. We've went backwards.
Wow. Brendan Rodgers out, and this is not 5 minutes after full time, you know, rage taking over. Ross sounds like he's thought about it. Mark, are we actually at that stage?
Certainly not. No, there's just no way. I mean, what is he into his second spell here? 4 months, 5 months, something like that. He's sitting 5 points clear, whichever way you frame it. Rangers with two games in hand, that's fine, but one of those games will come in January. Ross is saying now's the time, built up to the game in the 30th, and then, you know, very pessimistic in terms of that game. Oh, Ross, what if it goes the other way, though? What if that game in the 30th, Celtic managed to win, the players play better, Brendan gets his tactics right, what happens then?
I get that point, Mark, and I totally understand where you're coming from. The way I'm looking at it, Mark, is just, we went out the League Cup, we finished bottom of the Champions League, we lost to Kilmarnock, lost to Hearts. I have no confidence in this guy, and as I say, I didn't want him to be there in the first place, but he came in, I backed him, but right now, if you're asking me, I am not confident that Brendan Rodgers can get us out of this situation. I don't think he is the guy to do it, and that's why I'm saying that I think now is the time to pull it, when there's time to still win the league. But if we continue going the way we're going, it's going to end up 4, 5, 6 points behind Rangers, and then you've got a mountain to climb. So why not come out early doors, pull the plug, get somebody else in, and still save the season? Because right now, the way it's going, Celtic are going to lose this league. That's the way it's going.
It must be the earliest time to pull the plug to save your season when you're on top of the league. I've never heard that before. Now, I think this all stems back from a feeling of ill will when Brendan Rodgers obviously left the club the first time round, and when he was reappointed, there was a real split in the fan base. And I remember on this show, people phoning in, definitely their own choice, no way. Other people phoning in saying that it was an elite manager was needed at the club and he's your man to take you forward because there was nobody else out there. So there was a split. It was up to Brendan Rodgers in his first press conference to come out and address it. And he tried his best and he said, listen, if you don't believe me, come back here in May and we'll speak about it then on the steps of Celtic Park. Now, I believe he started reasonably well and he went to Ibrox and been to Tynecastle and Pittodrie and all very good places to win. But I always believed that there was this feeling as soon as results were poor and a couple of poor ones, there'd be a group waiting to jump in them. And that's the way it's playing out just now. So
whether this is Brendan Rodgers' specific fault or not, though, does it not, as Ross points out, feel like a bit more than a couple of poor results? You know, it's mixed in with Ross referencing multi-million pound signings who apparently can leave in January or are not in the squad. The vast majority of the summer recruitment's not even in the squad at the weekend. Bernabe, rarely seen. Gordon Dalziel's the only man in Scotland that rates him.
That was a strange one. I'll agree with Ross on that.
Gets put on there.
Listen, see this whole recruitment thing, and I think it's similar at Rangers as well with Clement. The difference is Clement's managing to get a bit of a tune out of some guys, but we've had Rangers fans on saying about Dessers that not good enough. In any transitional period where you go from Ange Postecoglou to Brendan Rodgers and you get, was it 10 or 11 players coming in? There's no way all of them are Brendan Rodgers. So you're fed players, some of them will be your responsibility. So yes, he should do better with some and the players themselves should do better. I don't think it's a grounds for sacking when you're sitting top of the league at this point. And listen, I guess seeing the 30th, when you've got time to sit and reflect after that game, or the 31st or the 1st, then maybe it's the chance to sit and take a wider view of things rather than a knee-jerk reaction for a defeat against Hearts.
Andy, would we ever see a manager sacked at the top of the league?
I'd be very shocked, and I don't think right now it's justified either. But for me, I think there's too much said about the quality of Celtic squad. That squad won a treble last year. They maybe lost 3 or 4 key players. Well, I'd say maybe 2 or 3 when you look at the likes of Jota and Starfelt. But there's a lot of quality within that squad. I think a lot of Celtic fans' frustration is clearly the project signings that have been discussed about. But it's the reason Celtic have got the balance sheet that they do, because they made a lot of very good project signings. The issue is when you make 11, like Mark says, and 7, 8 so far haven't worked, it's obviously a huge worry. But I think the biggest worry must be the regression of the players that are already there.
Well, that surely then is the bit that doesn't look good for the manager.
No.
I'm not saying it's his fault, but certainly it can't look good for him.
No, definitely not. And I mean, Kyogo for me is just, right as it stands right now, has been a shell of the player we've seen last year. What was it, 35 goals? We're now sitting in December and he scored one more golden Dessers, who's had nothing but criticism for 4 months. And I think, again, I could go through a list. Alistair Johnson for me has went backwards. I think Greg Taylor's the same. I think there's a right few players that right now Brendan Rodgers not getting the best out of.
What do you think, Celtic fans? Is it too early for that, or is Ross on the money? Let us know. 01419511025. And I have been buzzing for this for weeks, let me tell you about it.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Right, for the past couple of weeks you'll have heard me every night, sometimes twice a night, banging on because we had this amazing prize to give you and we were trying to make a difference to local children in Glasgow and the West at the same time. Thanks to Arnold Clark, we had a brand new BMW 1 Series up for grabs. You remember it well, yeah. Mark Wilson, yeah. Andy Halliday.
Yeah.
It's not a bad prize, is it?
Oh, unbelievable prize.
It's a very good prize. A stunning car, honestly. It's M Sport bodywork. It's got the digital cockpit with the Apple CarPlay, the heated sports seats, all the stuff you'd want, especially at this time of year. Keep your backside warm. Now, the lines closed at 6 p.m. on Saturday, and we thought we would give the lucky winner
a call. Let's see if we can get in touch. Suspense is killing me here.
Curtis is saying good.
I hope he answers. Suspense is killing me. Oh,
I hope he answers.
Oh, I don't know if he's answering.
He's now got Bluetooth in his car. He's
conscious
now.
You don't need to answer within a certain number of rings. Let's see if we can speak to Craig on the line. Craig, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi.
How are you? Don't swear, by the way. You're live on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You all right?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
Good, yeah. Not bad. Not bad, Craig. When did you fire off a text? You remember texting in to try and win the brand new BMW 1 Series?
I did. Actually, it was weekend.
So you left it right up to the last minute?
I did. I kept on missing it, forgetting all about it, forgetting
Craig,
the number.
Ignoring me, honestly. I told people not to do that. Where are you from, Craig?
Tollcross.
Good, lovely. Not too far from here. What team do you support? Not that it matters too much. I'm just curious.
I'm a Celtic fan.
Oh, bad weekend.
Not the best weekend.
Bad weekend for you, Craig, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, aye.
Not anymore, though, Craig, because you are now the proud owner of a brand new BMW 1 Series. How does that feel?
Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's got a crowd.
There's a crowd in the back. Who's in the fan club, Craig?
Yeah, my wife and son-in-law and my two kids are here.
Superb. What are their names?
My wife's Angela, my son's Craig as well, my daughter Shannon and Johnny's my son-in-law.
Superb. How does that sound, Craig? A brand new BMW 1 Series. You'll put that to good use, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely incredible. Incredible. I'm stuck for words.
Listen, no wonder. It sounds like the family are pleased. You'll be chauffeur driving them around over the Christmas period, I'm sure.
Maybe the opposite way about.
Well, exactly. You get yourself in that back seat. Enjoy the heated seats. How good's that?
Well done. By the way, what Gordon's not told you though is a clause in the contract. You need to pick Hugh Keegan's up at half 5 every Friday.
I did forget to mention that. He still can't drive, Craig. So meet us 8:05 out here on Friday night. That sound okay?
Sounds fantastic.
Brilliant, Craig. Listen, enjoy it. Happy driving. Well done to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, guys.
Congratulations. Merry Christmas to Craig.
Brilliant.
I love that.
Ah, great. Brilliant. But I feel good, eh?
Brilliant.
What a time.
The cheering in the background. Not. Super. Well done to Craig. I've only got a signed ball up for grabs on this. Sorry. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Money can't buy, though, a signed ball and the chance to humiliate Andy Halliday, or more likely Mark Wilson. 01419511025. The lines close at the end of the news.
First for football for 50 years. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Andy Halliday are waiting for you to get in touch. 01419511025. Rangers fans, how pleasing was it to win that League Cup yesterday? A few headaches, I would imagine. A few sick phone calls into work, maybe over celebrating, but let's look back on it. Aberdeen fans, what about you? Where did it go wrong? Do you feel a sense of injustice in any way, or did you not do enough on the day? Celtic fans, when I left here on Saturday, it was an incredible, angry, frustrated tone on the calls we took after that defeat to Hearts. How do you feel now, looking back on it? 01419511025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Andy Halliday, who very, very rarely, if ever, loses at Beat the Pundit, and Mark Wilson, who very, very rarely, if ever, wins at Beat the Pundit. So it's a good combination.
This season.
Oh, your form's rotten this season.
Andy did back me up, though. He did think I was harshly treated last week.
Yeah, I backed you up. Go to back up the pundits when you can.
You have... Of the pundits that have played a decent amount, you've got the lowest win percentage. And
been distracted this season.
And you've been grannied as well this season.
I did get grannied, actually. I did, mate. Aye, I took a nil. It was
incredible.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
I was in the Spain game, wasn't it? Because all the questions were
Scotland related,
Spanish related.
They
were in Spanish. That's why I didn't understand them. Right, Graham is an Aberdeen fan in Newton Mearns. How's it going, Graham?
Aye, not bad, yous.
Not bad. How are you feeling after yesterday, Graham?
Just recovering all right now, yeah.
That's pretty balanced, to be fair. Don't worry, I'll pick your brains more about the game when we're finished. Heads, it's going to be Andy. Tails, it'll be Mark Wilson. And it is. The 32% win rate is on the line. It's
good. I think I've got Graham at a good time.
I'll be distraught after yesterday. Right, let's give Mark some greatest hits radio so that Graham can join us. It's 30 seconds, Graham. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, your 30 seconds starts now. Name any of the players to miss a penalty in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Yeah.
past.
Before yesterday, what year did Rangers last win the League Cup?
2012.
Liam Scales joined Celtic from which club?
Shelbourne.
In what month did Motherwell last win a match?
October.
Paul Lambert won the European Cup with which club?
Dortmund.
Who is Rangers' top league scorer this season?
Seema.
Okay. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, you ready?
Okay.
How different do you think it'll be not doing this with Gordon DL sort of looking at you, staring at you, breathing just, down your neck?
Well, you've done it with him before.
It's a canter for you tonight.
Aye, you think aye. So?
What about his coffee spill the other night?
Brilliant.
You were the eyewitness.
Brilliant.
You're part of the reason that I've watched that video about 50 times because
your reaction is
I like
good,
to
isn't
watch
it?
Your reaction. And then I start it again and I watch his and then I go back to the beginning.
The fact that he put
an empty cup in
and pushed the coffee down, no realising he had a cup of coffee.
He is hard work, isn't he?
Oh, he's tough, mate. But I think you do well to handle him.
Anyway,
because he's not many can.
It's like 5,000 views or something on YouTube, and like obviously like tens, hundreds of thousands on like other social media platforms. But anyway, right, Graham, 30 seconds. He's done his. Mark Wilson, are you ready?
Yeah. You've put me off. I was in my stride here. Now all I can think is
coffee
deal. Aye,
Mr. Kenko.
Let's go.
Right, 30 seconds starts now. Name any of the players to miss a penalty in the Premiership at the weekend.
O'Hara.
Before yesterday, in what year did Rangers last win the League Cup?
2011.
Liam Scales joined Celtic from which team?
Shamrock.
In what month did Motherwell last win a match?
September.
Paul Lambert won the European Cup with which club?
Borussia Dortmund.
Who is Rangers' top league scorer this season?
Seema.
Which Scottish football legend has won a Lifetime Achievement
Kenny
Award
Dalglish.
At the Sports Personality of the Year? Okay.
Oh, hold on a minute. You started there, so you need to finish. Is he saying mastermind?
Don't worry about it, Mark.
I could be bothered.
Oh, really? Graham, you're having a bad couple of days, mate.
Oh, rotten.
I've got a bit of a sore throat, and I thought I'm going to save it. If there's one question, I just don't need to read it. You don't fancy your chances, Graham?
No.
Name any of the players to miss a penalty at the weekend. Tenuous Aberdeen link. He used to be an Aberdeen player. Bruce Anderson or
shocker.
Mark O'Hara. 1-0. Mark Wilson.
Yes.
I felt this is when I knew that Graham was up against it, because he then, before yesterday, in what year did Rangers last win the League Cup? Were you about to say 2011?
Yeah.
And he just went, I think he said 2012 in the end. Liam Scales joined from, and again, he was, I don't know, sort of close. He said Shelbourne, but it's Shamrock.
Oh, is it?
So Marcos.
That was a guess.
Oh, I could tell by the tone of your voice.
I was laughing because you knew it was a guess and you managed to just pluck it out of
the air. You went, it's Shamrock. Anyway, good. You got it.
Yes.
Graham didn't go down without a fight. He said Borussia Dortmund, which you both got.
Well done, Graham.
And he said Abdallah Seema.
Missed a question there.
Which. Motherwell. Oh yeah, Motherwell last one. I was trying to forget about it.
Exactly.
It was against Hearts, so don't get carried away. It was September.
Oh!
And Graham said October. Graham was just hitting the post all over the place. Seema is the top scorer for Rangers, and Kenny Dalglish Lifetime Achievement Award. So I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2
yes!
for Mark Wilson, and you get to go for the 10. Do you know?
Yeah, well,
you didn't get any wrong.
Yeah, unlucky, Graham.
Hold on, Graham, I'm not done with you yet, but let's see if we can do the 10. Come on, right? Oh, this will be good. Look at the body warmer he's wearing. Partick Thistle are in which position in the Championship?
Third.
Oh, he's nearly there. Singer Callum Beattie supports which team?
Rangers.
He's going for the 10. How can you get grannied and do the 10 in the one
Come
season?
Come on, give us the 10.
Hugh Keevans is the only man to get a 10 this season,
is
I think.
He?
I don't know, I made that up, but he certainly did.
Right, come on.
True or false?
Oh, no, is it true or false as well for
no,
the 10?
No Scottish player has ever played for Real Madrid men's team.
True.
Oh, it's false.
It's false.
No,
it's false. How can you not know that John Fox Watson played in 1948-49? Once, one appearance.
You know, I'll happily lose to that because did you know that?
Do you know why I know that? Remember the young player that went?
Jack Harper.
Jack Harper went, and it was, can he be the next Scottish person since Big Foxy?
Foxy boy. So close. Yeah.
And I had to throw in men's because, of course, Caroline Weir.
Of course, I would have known that.
You would have. So there we go. Right, Graham, come on. Let's get a bit more detail about yesterday. Where did it go wrong?
I just don't think we were good enough, to be honest. That's the bottom line. They had a wee bit more quality. I think Tav was the difference in the end. That was it. I think that's as simple as it is.
Is that fair? I mean, first half we were there and it just just, yeah, I'm not going to go all Derek Adams, you know, because there can be reasons and all that sort of stuff, but first half just really grim, wasn't it?
Yeah, you tend not to analyse cup finals in isolation for obvious reasons, but it's probably lucky we didn't, because it certainly wasn't a classic, especially the first half. First half, like you says, was pretty drab. Under Philip Clement, we've talked about Rangers being a lot more aggressive in their attack and trying to get the ball quicker, but I thought that was a detriment to the team a wee bit, because they never really grasped any control, and it gave Aberdeen two or three really good opportunities in transition, but that final ball, that final bit of quality let them down. But then I thought Rangers played with a lot more control, a lot more quality in the second half, and ultimately that was enough.
Is that it, Mark? Aberdeen, no, it's obviously a close game. It's 1-0, it's a late goal, but just not enough, just not close enough to really grumble.
See, to be honest, I didn't think they turned up at all. And Rangers deserved to win it, particularly in the second half, where they were by far the better team. But Aberdeen did have opportunities to break. They did have opportunities to pick the right pass and play the, and take the right option. And their individuals on the day were so poor. I've got to say, as well, about the tactics, it seemed a lot of the time they just wanted to go long and hopefully replicate the goal that they scored at Pittodrie, that somebody would flick it on for Miofsky to run through. And I think I only seen that happening once, and it was near the end of the game. And Miofsky still didn't even get onto it. And you're thinking, well, come up with something different. Barry made changes, but the patterns were the same. And I don't think you're going to have much chance of winning a cup final like that.
Had a few tweets already, though, this evening. Do you feel aggrieved in any way about the last minute? Should Duke have had a penalty? Is he gone? He disappeared.
Oh, you know, happy with that 7-2 defeat. Yeah,
he's disappeared. Just right at the crucial moment. Like I say, loads of tweets about it anyway. What do you think?
Okay, so at the time when we were in the studio, I said, how has Duke not put that in the back of the net? Because I thought he was favourite just to turn and swivel. We then got sidetracked by looking at what happened in the net and all the bodies in there, and we never really went back to it. Having seen it again, I can see why it's been brought to attention and lots of tweets about it, because Butland leg does come across. However, the argument for me against it being a penalty would be that Duke is almost already in the way down. His body is leaning, like he's lost balance and he's going down. I think that's why, if they looked at it, they wouldn't have gave it.
So, what, in summary, there's a bit of a shout, but you're not
bit of shout,
fully
but,
convinced?
No, I'm not fully convinced, if I'm honest.
Your take on it?
Yeah, but I'm very, very similar. No penalty for me. I think a lot of time the barometer is the player's reaction, and I don't think Duke even appeals for it once. I've watched it 3-4 times, slowed down. I don't think there's any real conclusive evidence that Butland actually makes contact with Duke. And like he says, if it does, it's already when Duke's 2 inches off the floor.
Richard's an Aberdeen fan. You'll not agree with that assessment, surely, Richard?
Well, I thought it was both incidents were penalties, and it's rules of the game. Like 3 weeks ago in Pittodrie's, a shirt pool was given a penalty. That's the rules of the game. I had no arguments about that. I just think you've got to be consistent, and that was a penalty, so was our one yesterday.
The good thing is I've been consistent, because every time this comes up, I just sort of explain the framework. We went to the referee's briefing and spoke about different scenarios and different rules and all that sort of stuff, and then I let you two decide. I don't have to. So the framework they'll look for, the kind of main thing is, does the shirt pull impede the player from getting to the ball? That's sort of the main one. How long is it? Is it prolonged? All that sort of stuff. So this is where I step back. You two use that.
So you're referencing the rules of the game. We'll now put it back to Richard. So Richard, the rule being, does it impede the player getting the ball? So you still think it's a penalty?
Yep.
But the guy that takes the corner crosses it along the floor and it's cleared at the front post.
Well, three weeks ago, was Goldson getting to that ball?
Well, clearly, and that's why the penalty was given, because it was in the vicinity of Conor Goldson potentially getting the ball.
I've always got a bit of sympathy, Mark, because there's going to be can never be an exact science. You're having to predict sort of, is the ball in that area? Is it likely that you can get on the end of it, and so on and so forth? Are those two incidents similar for you the way they are for Richard?
No, they're not similar at all. I think Andy highlighted it pretty clearly there. The Goldson one at Pittodrie, whether or not Goldson's getting a full contact on the ball or not, right, we don't know. But the ball is getting into that area, so there's every chance. The one yesterday, it's nowhere near getting the ball. The ball, it's a poor corner kick into the front post area, cleared, and the Aberdeen players at soccer gives away the foul, actually, on the front post man. I think it might have been Tavernier.
So what does that mean then? But that basically Todd Cantwell sort of fortunate, if you like, that he's at the back post and he's nowhere
very
near.
Very fortunate. Listen, if the set piece taker takes a decent delivery, it's going to be given a penalty.
I think, yeah, even if that swung into the goalkeeper's hands, into Butland's hands at a decent height, I think we're talking about a different thing.
Beat the man at the front post.
I think we're speaking different thing, because then the player, the Aberdeen player, might just get on the end of that ball. But the fact that he's not even in the vicinity is why Todd Cantwell gets away with it.
He's very lucky. He's very lucky, because it's crazy, especially with the incidents we've seen lately. The fact that, you know, and he's been involved in games when the incidents have happened. The fact that he's run the risk by pulling Gartenman's jersey is crazy, and he's got away with it.
I always say it, you don't need to agree with that, you don't need to like it, that just is, that's the framework. You don't even need to think it fits it the way these guys do, but they will always look for whether it impedes the player from getting to the ball. Richard, so you feel pretty hard done by then? Do you think that could have been the difference?
Well,
obviously,
let's just talk about in the midfield, and a player that's not on the ball is running to make a run and someone pulls his shirt, it's a foul. You know, it's clear and simple. Maybe the rules are not correct or whatever, but just, and the Butland one, he went right through the back of him for me. If I've watched it a few times, and okay, if they have a check and it's not, at least they have at least have a look at it.
No, they will have looked at it. Remember, although there was like hundreds. What was the stat again? I think it was like when they did the first round of games, it was like 400 and odd. Silent checks, Mark. I know what we always think, and we see this a lot. I think maybe this is why, hearing the audio or hearing the explanation, maybe that's why this would be so much better, because then we wouldn't need me to say this or other people, because maybe you don't know if you're a fan there. I've seen so many people on social media saying it wasn't even checked. I wonder if what they mean by that is, well, you know, the ref didn't go to the monitor, or they didn't do the big pause. And there was a pause for a check for a red card for serious foul play, but they will have checked Duke on Butland, which then means a couple of things. Either they quite simply don't think it's a penalty, they don't think it's a clear and obvious error, and again, you can disagree with that to your heart's content. That's the beauty of it. This phone-in wouldn't survive if we didn't disagree. But that will have been the process.
Yeah, it's always going to be a takeaway from fans who don't get the penalty in the very last kick of the ball, that it's just been overlooked, it's not been checked. And there was a lot going on in that goal line and in the net at that time, so the fans jumped to that conclusion, or they've concentrated on this rather than what could have been a potential foul. But you're right, it's the official's job to check everything that's going on, and that would have been clearly picked up. And it just, well, for me, look, it wasn't a penalty. The VAR, the referee, didn't think it was a penalty. But you're right, maybe it just does clear that side up, hearing some sort of audio to say it was a check. But fans solely relying the hand to the ear and the monitor,
because it could
to confirm
be
things have been
still
checked.
Feels like there are options there. Obviously, you might say, no, never a penalty in a million years, or it's maybe, but it's not a clear and obvious error, which doesn't trigger an on-field review, or the angle of the footage or whatever is inconclusive. It would just kind of be nice to know what the exact reason it would be.
And whichever angles they see it, if it's the same as yours, we don't know that.
Thanks, though, Richard. It was nice to speak to you. John is a Celtic fan. He thinks there's a bit of a sense of entitlement brewing from some Celtic fans. We'll hear from him next.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025. Keep the thoughts coming in. I'm going to speak to John and East Kilbride in about 30 seconds. Let me quickly give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
But John's been hanging on for ages, so you don't even need to give me any answers. Here's just your question and we'll get it up and running thanks to Gregor's wife. Can you name the 9 players...
Gregor's wife?
Apparently. Can you name 9 players from the home nations and Ireland who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era? So that's, remember, 98 to 2013. 9 players from the home nations and Ireland who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. We'll get back to it, right? John is on the line. How's it going, John?
Very well, thanks very much, Gordon. Hope you're all well, guys.
Good, thanks, John. Oh, very nice of you, John. Same to you. We've had a lot of rage on Saturday here on the phones, John, but I understand you think some of your fellow Celtic fans are going a bit overboard.
One word, petulant. Absolute petulance. I would like to have seen these guys. I grew up watching football in the 80s when Aberdeen dominated. Dundee United were in the mix. Rangers late 80s, early 90s. I mean, what would these people be like now? With a sense of entitlement, we've not got the God-given right to win every single game. I mean, if you look at the Premiership down south, every single team in the top four or five has been gubbed well and truly at some point this year. Now, it's a better standard, I get that, but with respect to you, like guys like Andy and that are still playing, they're professional football players. See if a team decides, I mean, they played out their skins against Feyenoord, right? And perhaps they were guilty of, well, it's Hearts, we got playing at Tynecastle, I don't know, but guys like Andy and all the rest of them, the guys in Kilmarnock.
Oh, John's just broke up at right on cue. Well, I'll ask the guys, and I'm sure you Celtic fans will want to have your say. Petulant, says the reaction. Says John about the reaction. Some of you young Celtic fans don't know how good you've got it. That was the kind of general tone, although John didn't say that. What do you think, Mark?
Agree with John to a certain extent that there is a lot of Celtic fans who have grew up in this period of absolute dominance over the past decade, longer than a decade now.
So how does that logic work then? So because it was bad 30 years ago, you should be okay with things now?
No, I wasn't going to say that. They just know nothing but winning.
Right.
So when a couple of defeats come along, one after the other, it is a crisis. And people have phoned up and says it's crisis time. People have phoned up and said it's time for the manager to go when they're sitting top of the league. You go back to Martin O'Neill, Gordon Strachan, through to Neil Lennon. Mm-hmm. Celtic did lose games, and they did lose games consecutively. There were bad periods within the season. However, not many people would be shouting for them to lose their job early on in the season. So,
okay, how much
it's
does
the knee-jerk and
how much does the Glasgow landscape come into it, though? Because, forgive me if I'm off by 1 or 2 years, but by and large, Martin O'Neill had to topple a Rangers treble winning side, is that right? Yeah. And Gordon Strachan would have taken on a Rangers double or treble winning side round about that time.
Yeah,
I think I'm roughly right there. But Celtic fans clearly felt that they were, I don't know if out of sight is the right phrase, but everything that's happened with Rangers and Celtic had that success. Then Rangers were in the top flight and Celtic still had the success. They've got all the money in the bank. They've got all the Champions League qualifications to back that up. And yet here we are, that if Rangers win their games in hand, they would be top of the league. Is that not worth bearing in mind the context?
Yeah, but if we're putting it into context, let's remember it was only 3 years ago that Rangers won the league. It was only a couple of seasons ago Rangers were in a Europa League final. So we're not talking about Rangers that came from the third division of Scottish football. And things have changed.
Well, we are, though. What do you mean?
If we're talking recent history here, well, Rangers won the league. So it's not as if, you know, we've went 12 years without them winning it once. There was a big change. Steven Gerrard won the league.
Right,
then they progressed in Europe and they got all the way to a European final. Now, that's not to be turned to anybody's nose up, but that was a remarkable achievement for a team who knew how to win on a huge stage. So the gap isn't where people think it is. Even though Celtic's bank balance shows that compared to Rangers, it's not reflective on the pitch.
This is not necessarily my take. I'm trying to translate the frustration, the opposite view from John. Should they feel the gap should be bigger, though? I think that's clearly part of it.
Well, what fans should think, sorry, I knew you were asking, Andy, what fans should think a club should be run and the way it is run is often very different. You know, I don't think it helps when the board keep coming out and saying we're doing great, look at the spreadsheet, because that just fuels the flames of the Celtic fans wanting more money spent.
I think John's representing every football fan outside the Old Firm up and down the country with the self-entitlement. But listen, realistically, how bad is it? How bad are we really talking here? We're talking about if Rangers win two games in hand, they're 2 points ahead of Celtic. Yes, obviously they've Rangers have won the League Cup, but what does that mean? That Celtic can't win a treble? I mean, they've won 4 trebles in the last 6 years. They've been pretty successful over this period of time. I can understand different sides to the argument when people say, no, it was all about progressing in Europe. We've not done that. I get that. In terms of domestic, nothing's been won or lost in terms of the league. I mean, there's still so much to play for. We've got this game in the 30th as well that's going to be a huge barometer. What I will say is, and listen, we're only 12 days away, and I think there's only 2 games within that, but Celtic must win their next 2 games before the Old Firm.
There you are, John. You and Andy Halliday are agreeing on all things Celtic. Things you never thought you would hear, eh?
Listen, the bottom line is, I see right now, I'd rather it happened now. There's an opportunity. I think it was Mark that said it earlier. Brendan Rodgers is a quality manager. All right, the way he left, but look what he done, look what he achieved. You just don't turn bad overnight, and these players as well. There's obviously something amiss, but if quality players and a quality manager use this as an opportunity, give them to the end of the season. Because he did say, if it's no done, it'll be just suck it up. But see, that's getting rid of him in January, and you're top or getting into it, top of the league. It's. Man. Anyway, that's it.
John sounds, to use the word of the weekend, scunnered. Do you remember the guy in Scott on Saturday?
Yeah, John just ran out of words there, didn't he?
There was a lot of scunnered. I like that. But there we are. I think it's a very strong take from John. So Celtic fans, what do you think? John thinks the reaction has been petulant. There's a sense of entitlement. What do you think? Is that fair or not? 01419511025. Paul, petulance, what do you think? Is that fair?
Say hi, God. By some people, yes, I think. There is a generation of Celtic fans that have grew up knowing nothing but success. I'm of the age where, when I was growing up, Celtic won nothing. I think it was in primary 7 when it was a centenary season, and after that, there was nothing. My fear is that, and it's been from the start, that Brendan Rodgers isn't the man. I see nothing this season that changed my opinion of that. The worrying traits is, with the exception of Liam Scales, who, let's be honest, has been a bit of a fluke, right? Because he was on his way out the door, and he would have been his way out the door if it wasn't for injuries. But Liam Scales has been great. But, and I think maybe people are a wee bit over the top of Matt O'Reilly, Brendan Rodgers has improved no players. No player has got better. Right, we're terrible to watch, and we've been lucky. I mean, let's be honest, Feyenoord weren't a great team. The Feyenoord had their shooting boots on, they would have won. We were quite lucky at Ibrox at the start of the season, but there is no sign that Brendan and he's come out. He flung the players under the bus under the Madrid game, and he's trying to claw it back a wee bit now, right? But I don't think anybody's willing to run through a wall for Brendan Rodgers, and I never wanted him there, and I'd be glad to see the back of him, to be honest.
Wow. So I mean, we had this point earlier that seriously it's already that stage before the end of December, still top of the league.
He's got no goodwill in the bank, Gordon. He knew this when he came, right? So he had to be really impressive to start with, and he's bumping his gums about players. He's more or less saying it was nothing to do with me. Well, that's a sign of weakness, right? Because when you come in, you start sorting that out, or it's laziness, right? The guy that was there before you, if he was the guy that looked at these players, right, he signed very few duds, right? So you used to come away from the game knackered, right? Because we were dynamic, it was a joy to watch. You nearly fall asleep at it. Well, you couldn't fall asleep at the games on Saturday, right, enough for the septic atmosphere, but He's not an elite manager anymore. I'm sorry, I hope I'm wrong, right? I would like nothing to bet him to see it turn around, but there's no signs he's going to turn around.
Listen, Paul, I agree with a lot of comments that Paul's made, and I make no apology for referencing Philippe Clement, because I think how easy would it have been for him to come in and complain about the squad he's inherited? How easy would it have been for Philippe Clement to say how much he needs investment in January to bring in players, whereas you feel as if that's all really that Brendan Rodgers has spoke about. And I agree, I think the biggest issue and the biggest worry is how so many players have regressed.
I have to agree with that point in the players. Looking at them individually, I think Scales, yes, certainly stands out. Matt O'Reilly's added to his goals, but in terms of full performances for O'Reilly, maybe not been there. Struggle to pick out any that's been better, but if any worse, Kyogo, even Maeda when he's played, even the captain, Callum McGregor, who probably stands above the rest of them, but...
Well, he got exonerated by the manager at the weekend. He got named as being someone who was exempt from criticism.
I thought his performance in the second half wasn't outstanding, but you could see he was trying to influence the game. You could see he was trying to drag people forward and increase tempo within the play. So I think that's why the manager sort of, like you said, sort of singled him out. I don't think it was for an outstanding performance, but for me, you know, you talk about leadership and try to drag your team through when they're not having the best afternoons. I think that's the reason why.
By the way, I think in giving him credit, he also digs at a few other players because do you hear what
doing
he said?
Doing three people's jobs,
which means they weren't doing their jobs. So it's quite easy to pick out, you know, who he was talking about there. So, look, the players have to pull their socks up themselves and start performing better, but ultimately it does fall on the manager to improve them on a daily basis to perform better on a Saturday. So Andy's right, he's got a big couple of games coming up before we get to the 30th.
Let's ask John on the line. How are you feeling about your club at the moment, John? How would you sum it up?
It's abysmal, mate. Once again, a big story coming out of Parkhead the last couple of weeks was all about the Green Brigade. They're going to get back in and they'll get back in. We've got bigger problems and getting the Green Brigade back in. I see, once again, I blame three people. Two Lawwells and Brendan Rodgers. Once again, they both fell asleep behind the wheel. Peter's son, Mark, is the head of recruitment. Recruitment this year has been absolutely abysmal. And Brendan's just Peter's wee puppet. He come back and he's still been making the conditions, saying that I'll be signing him. Once again, he's been hung out of dry at times, Brendan Rodgers. As I say, we don't know who's telling the truth. As I say, do these guys, I've got to get into work, thousands of Celtic fans have got to go to work. I came into work last Monday morning, and there was a box of Kelly Pies lying on my desk. I come in this week, and there was a box of jam tarts lying on my desk. Now, as I say, we've got to go to work and take all this slack. You're not guaranteed that we can beat Livingston on Saturday where they're playing and go to Dundee Boxing Day before we meet Rangers. We're 7 points clear a couple of weeks ago. We could afford to maybe not get a result at Parkhead. But we've got to beat Rangers now. Because across the city, the Rangers qualified for the last 16. We gave them a Christmas present on Saturday. And that season, they won the cup yesterday. Celtic, it's all doom and gloom.
Better hope you never lose to Partick Thistle. It'll be a cheese board and a fine wine that's left on John's desk. That might be a bit of a result, I have to say. Nothing worse than getting Kelly pies and jam tarts landed in your desk. That's when you know things are bad.
Yeah.
What do you think of John's point?
He's right. Doom and gloom. It's a good way of putting it at Celtic just now. After the Champions League concluded and then the recent league form match with Rangers winning their trophy and winning in Europe and a new manager coming in. Yeah, it is doom and gloom. But there's not been a lot of doom and gloom over the years at Celtic. So when it comes instantly, it seems much worse than it is. So, look, people in there has to fix it. Never mind the board and the guys that sit up there who the crowd are directing their anger towards. It's the manager, the coaching team and the players who can affect it within the next 10 days. That's why we're saying these games before Rangers are huge. If you slip up, then you go into that Rangers game in a worse situation. If you win the two of them, then you put yourself in a decent position. Celtic will still go into that, in my opinion, favourites. If they win that, then the doom and gloom lifts slightly and you're looking at a January transfer window with optimism rather than the fear of Rangers overtaking you.
Have you still got the Killy Pies and the jam tarts, John?
No, I'm a bit greedy, mate. I'll keep them for the reindeer.
Thank you very much to John on the line. You two, I gave you a teaser a while ago. We've had to skip over it a bit because it's been such a busy show. But can you name 9 players from the home nations and Ireland who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era? What are you going for?
Hartson.
Yes.
Chris Boyd.
Yes.
Kenny Mallett.
Yep.
Sutton.
No.
Lawrence Shankland.
SPL era 98 to 2013.
Oh right, Robbie Keane. Okay.
No, wasn't he long enough to get 3 or more hat-tricks, was he?
Oh, 3 or more hat-tricks, sorry. I'm just saying the hat-tricks.
Ivan Sproul.
No. You've just remembered one that's etched into your memory.
No, two.
Oh, yeah, there was two, right.
Adam Rooney?
No.
Stephen Fletcher?
No.
Gary O'Connor?
No.
Derek Reardon?
No.
Oh, I have one. Oh, Higdon.
Yes, of course, Michael Higdon. There we are, the man who knows how to celebrate winning the PFA Scotland Player of the Year Award. Right, let me tell you about this before we go further.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Let me thank you so, so much for all the generous bids and donations in the Cash for Kids sports auction on Saturday. My esteemed colleague Hugh Keevan sums it up great. We wish we didn't have to do a sports auction. We don't really take great pride in having to do it, but once it's there, we really, really thrive on the chance to make a bit of a difference. And the money that you lot raised for us, and I say for us, it's for children in our local community at the weekend, was sensational. We're just trying to bring a bit of joy, really, to local children, making sure they've got the basics this Christmas: food, heating, electricity, maybe even a small gift. And right now at Clyde1.com, you can still help by getting involved in our silent auction. Honestly, head over there during this break, Clyde1.com. There are so many good prizes on there that we didn't get to use in the main auction on Saturday, like loads and loads. You could pick up a signed Scotland home top, Scotland squad going to the Euros, of course. There's a signed Celtic Matt O'Reilly top. There's a signed framed Jack Butland top. I know the way you Rangers fans feel about him right now, so you might want to get on there and try and win that. There's a framed Wayne Rooney Man United training top. There's a VIP table at an evening with Scott Arfield. There is a lot there, and it's not just football prizes as well. Loads and loads. Go to Clyde1.com and help out Cash for Kids if you can.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, it's that time of the night where we try and get more answers to the full time teaser. The question: 9 players from the home nations and Ireland who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. You've got Chris Boyd, John Hartson, Michael Higdon and Kenny Miller.
Couple of teammates of mine's Hooper and Stokes.
Oh yes, I thought you were going Chad Urie and Andy Hinkle there, but yep, you've
seen them.
Got the right
off.
Two
Rod Wallace.
Yes. Two to get. Any thoughts?
Gary McSwagan.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Where did you get that, Fred?
Do you know why? He always puts a heart's answer in the
McSwagan
teaser.
McSwagan is always wonderful.
It really is. That's the full time teaser equivalent
I think
of a 30 yard screamer. Right, let's bring in Scott, who's a Celtic fan. Scott, you'll probably be the last caller, so let me sum this up for you. We've had Celtic fans who say this is terrible, Rodgers out, and others who say you Celtic fans are entitled and spoiled and you shouldn't be saying things like that. How do you feel?
I totally disagree with the fact that we're spoiled. You know, in my opinion, Celtic Football Club want to always harp on how they're there for the fans, there for, you know, the people. One of our songs we play at the start of the game is like the people sing. The weekend shows when the people question the mentality of our board, the board throw the toys at the pram and they eject fans from the stadium that put their hard-earned cash there. And for me, that's just having a domino effect down the team. Rodgers has come out and said that he's not happy with his team, he's not happy with his players. Things are going to, people are going to, you know, down, put the tools down. Their heads are going to go down. We are looking at potentially being 12 points clear of them on the other side of the city. Now come the turn of the new year, they're going to be ahead of us. And that's through a manager that's come in with the same group of players that Michael Beale signed at the same fans. Rangers fans were saying we're terrible, we're rotten, you know, and they're now going to be looking down at us. I just think they've got to act now. You know, if Rangers didn't act after their defeat to Aberdeen at home, you know, Rangers would be miles behind us. They've acted fast and the table's turned, and I feel we need to do the same now or we can kiss goodbye to the title.
You think there's no way Brendan Rodgers turns this round? And I say that in terms of form, because obviously Celtic are still top of the league at the moment, but so there's no way this is a successful season under him?
But for me, I've taken my boy to the football for the past 10 years or so, and it's been happy memories. He was crying at the weekend there because he's no used to seeing that. Now, as soon as a manager says he's lost the dressing room, your players are no. I mean, if you were in your job and you were told you only wanted you only good enough, you'd be looking elsewhere for your employment. You know, you wouldn't be doing your job the way you should be doing your job. Mm. So I just don't see how he's going to turn it around. He's opened his mouth and he's made comments maybe under the pressure, under the heat of the moment. But I just think they've got to act now. because the way it's going, I just can only see it getting worse.
Mark, how would you react if you were in that dressing room and there was a constant message that we need more quality in the squad?
I would realise I needed to pick my quality up. That's the message.
So it's more of a challenge to you rather than an unfair criticism.
If I'm contracted at that club and I've got a couple of years left to go, I understand that I need to raise my game. So it's a two-pronged message. It's a message to the board, but it's a message to these players in the dressing room. Remember, managers get a mic shoved in front of their face 5 minutes after every game, and fans are bored to hear managers say the same things every week. So sometimes they say different things, aim their criticism different ways, aim their praise different ways. Brendan Rodgers came out after St John's and says it was the angriest he's ever been. After the Champions League, it was, we need more quality. After other games, it's more quality. There's different ways of going about things, and I think he's going round the houses with that, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think his players will be getting the message, but this, I just cannot get my head around this. Scott coming on, they need to act quickly. Rangers acted quickly under Beale. Surely anybody can tell the difference with Celtic at the minute at the top of the league to where Michael Beale was after the game at Ibrox against Aberdeen. Surely that's an easy thing to see, and I just cannot get. You know, Scott saying he took his kid to the game, he was crying because he's not used to that. Well, get used to that, because that's football. Your team doesn't win all the time. You have to experience some bad results to appreciate the good ones. And that's where the previous caller, John, was saying about entitled fans, that maybe they're not used to a challenge. Well, when I was a fan growing up, I was used to a challenge for Rangers. When I was a player at the club, I relished the challenge for Rangers. Maybe it's went a wee bit too easy for years gone by, and there's a definite challenge on now. I just don't think you should sack the manager before it's even really kicked in.
Scott?
I disagree with that completely, because you need to look at it. If we're neck and neck, in the past, any other manager, if you're neck and neck and you lose the points he's lost, that's potentially 10 points he's lost there with his terrible tactics, his terrible team. At the end of the day, you'd be sacked. You know, if this was neck and neck and we were then 10 points behind Rangers, you'd be out the door, out of job.
But what are you talking about 10 points behind Rangers? They're not 10 points behind Rangers. Celtic are top of the league. They've beaten Rangers. They've beaten Aberdeen away. They've beaten Hearts away. What are you talking about?
Right, do you know what? We're going to have to knock this in the head, because I've got an extremely busy end to the show that I need to cram in. I wish we could do this show longer sometimes. But here's something I'm going to do right between now and the end of the year. I told you Clyde One was celebrating its first 50 years on Hogmanay. So on the run up to that big birthday, we thought we would celebrate some of the greatest moments in Scottish football. Let's put Mark Wilson on the spot first.
Clyde One, 50 years as Glasgow and the West's number one.
Radio Clyde 261, all together now. Sing it to me.
Just a bit of fun. All the pundits will get a chance over the next couple of weeks or so. We'll do a top 10 in no particular order, just their opinion, their personal preference. Mark, in the last 50 years, what's a standout Scottish football moment for you?
Well, for me, it was when Celtic got to the UEFA Cup final at that time, 2003. I just saw that was, well, it was something that I hadn't seen from Celtic before. You know, seeing the greats like Henrik Larsson and Chris Hutton, John Hartson, and how they performed throughout that full campaign against some real big sides, and two English teams in there as well, two battles of Britain that we very rarely see, and them to come out and top in both, magnificent.
So even though it didn't go to plan on the night, still the getting there, the memories, the run, that was still enough?
Well, everything about it, everything about the final. I was at Dundee United at the time as a first team player, a young first team player, so I couldn't go and watch the game. But
were you raging about that?
I was raging. Aye, we were on Broughty Ferry, the full team, watching it together. But by the way, we wouldn't have been the only team. Probably every other team round Scotland would have got together and watched that game, because it was so iconic. Played against a great Portal team with great names in it as well, and just came up short. So although the night was disappointing, the memory still lasts forever for almost every Celtic fan.
Well, there we are. The other pundits will get their chance throughout the coming days. I don't think that's the one Andy Halliday would pick, funnily enough, but we'll maybe get his.
Well, Porto won.
He loved it. We'll get his in the near future. I'm soon. We'll come up with a top 10, and you can, of course, tweet your thoughts, agree or disagree. Top 10 Scottish football moments in no particular order over the last 50 years. You've got one more on this teaser. 9 players from the home nations and Ireland who got 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. Boyd, Hartson, Higden, Stokes, Wallace, Miller, Hooper, McSwiggan,
Ian Jess.
No. Oh. But not far away.
Oh, so that rules out Billy McKay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so Aberdeen, Robbie Winters.
Great. Robbie, yes! Winters.
Great shout.
Well done, thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal. That was so busy because I know there was the League Cup final to look back on. There was a lot of frustration, anger from Celtic's drop points at the weekend. We didn't even get the chance to debate Derek Adams' assassination of Scottish football. Maybe we can do that tomorrow or anything else that crops up. We'll be here at 6. We'd love for you to join us again. 01419511025. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to these two for joining us. We will be back at 6 tomorrow.